begin with a word of prayer. Our great God, our Father in heaven, we come unto thee, Lord, confessing our need of thee. Father, our gathering together in this evening hour would be of no avail. Father, if we have come without the power of thy Holy Spirit present here. And so we pray unto thee, Father, that thy Holy Spirit would make himself manifest among us, and that the power of his message would come forth, and the power of thy word, Lord, that it might touch our hearts, that it might draw us close to thee, that it would refresh us, that it would strengthen us, that it would invigorate us into thy ways, and Lord, that we might be blessed by having been here this evening. Lord, this we do pray and do ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the first epistle of John, chapter number 2, and begin reading with verse number 18. 1 John, chapter 2, verse number 18. Second chapter. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. King David was a man after God's own heart, and he had done wonderful things in his life, and the Lord was pleased with him, but yet he was a man, and there were some things that he did that were truly displeasing, vitally displeasing to the Lord. And that would have been on the occasion where he committed adultery with Uriah's wife, and then he also murdered Uriah as well. It was a very dark time for King David. And he wrote a beautiful psalm in that instance of his life, in Psalm 51, and we're familiar with that psalm. And one of the things that he recognized in that psalm, and as he wrote there, he said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Consider this. Behold. Behold this. The Lord, his desire is that we would have truth. Truth in the inward parts. The truth of God, that it would abide within us, that it would be in our minds, that it would be in our hearts, and that the truth would come into us, and that it would come forth out of us, and that we would abide in this truth. That's what the Lord desires. That's what the Lord desires. He said, "Behold, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." The Apostle John, who wrote this epistle, wrote a third epistle, and in that third epistle, he writes saying, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in truth." It was the greatest joy that he had. He had been perhaps a long time now living on the earth after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word was being propagated throughout all parts of the world by this time, and he had no greater joy than to hear that his children were walking in truth. No greater joy. Nothing was giving him more joy than to hear that his children were walking in truth. And so we see throughout scriptures that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is truth. And so throughout these epistles of John, the first, second, and third epistles, he speaks of truth quite a bit. And he's speaking here to know the truth. And so that's the desire of God's desire, and and what the Word has for us is that truth, the truth of God, would dwell in us, and that it would come forth from us, and that we would not be departed and brought to a lie or to a falsehood. And so we picked up the reading here in the middle of this chapter where it says, "Little children." And so the Apostle John addresses those in his epistles here as little children often. It's repeated quite often throughout the chapters here in these epistles. And when we think of little children, we think of how impressionable they can be. And we see through the scriptures that Jesus was teaching that if someone has a stony heart, the Word of God can't reside there. There's no room for the Word to develop and mature and bring forth fruit in a heart that's stony. It's hard. It's not impressionable. But when we have a soft heart, when we allow God to work in us and have that soft heart, then we can be impressionable. And here he's speaking that as little children, that we would come, even this evening hour, that we would come willing to be impressioned by the Word of God, that it would be impressed upon us, that it would mold us, and that it would direct us into this truth that he is calling us to. And so he says, "It is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists." And so it was true back then in the time of the apostles, and it was true since that time through today that there are Antichrists. There are those who say that Jesus Christ didn't come, or that he was just a man, or whatever that they might say about Jesus Christ. Again, this was true in the time of the apostles. The apostle Paul warned the elders at Ephesus, and he told them that also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. The Apostle John is saying, there's going to be Antichrist. They're going to say evil things. They're going to say things against Christ. And they were not a part of us. And there are Antichrist even now. And so the Apostle Paul now is also telling the elders at Ephesus, he's saying that of your own selves, men among you, shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Perverse things. When we think of something that's perverted, it's disgusting. It's something to be repulsive to us. And so he's saying here that these aren't the Roman people. These aren't the people of Ephesus. But he's saying from within. He's saying from within. Of your own selves shall men arise and speak these perverse things. And the purpose is to draw away disciples after them. The people of the time of the apostles, the believers in the time of the apostles, didn't perhaps take heed much to what the Roman people would say or the Gentile people would say. They would dismiss it out of hand, that what they have to say is false. It's not of the word of God. It's not of the Spirit of God. And we likewise today, when we hear what society is saying, it's perverse to us, and we just dismiss it out of hand. We know that's not true. That's not truth. That's against scriptures, and it's not something that we guard so quickly against because we simply dismiss it out of hand. We know that that's false. But here the Apostle Paul is saying, "Shall men shall arise of your own selves." He also writes to Titus, and he says, "There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, specifically they of the circumcision." So they would be the Jews. Not the Roman people, not the Gentile people, but the Jews. And he says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching for things that they ought not. So this is a warning to us that God desires that we have truth in the inward parts. And there is no greater joy than when we hear that others are walking in truth. We know that there are believers in other parts of the world. And many of them, most of them, we will never meet on this side of the grave. But when we hear that they're walking in truth, that gives us joy. That gives us hope. That gives us encouragement when we hear that others are walking in truth. And that's what God desires, is that we walk in truth and that we have the truth within us. And so we are to guard against that which is false and that which is lies. So again, the Apostle Paul warning Titus, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. Teaching things that are not true. Teaching falsehoods. Teaching lies as antichrists, doing these things. And it says that their mouths must be stopped. There's probably multiple ways to stop a mouth that's speaking perverse things, perverted things, things that are completely anti-scriptural. One is to speak back the truth in love. Speak back the word of God. Say, well, the word of God says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The word of God says that he did come in the flesh. The word of God says that he did die for our sins and that he shed his blood. And by our faith in him, we can receive remission of sins. And because he lives, we can live also. And so we can speak the truth and speak the truth in love. So that's one way to stop one's mouth. But the other way to stop one's mouth who speaks perverse things is to simply dismiss them. Don't give them a hearing ear. Remove yourself from them. And so John is giving here this warning that there's antichrist that shall come, but there are already many antichrists, and there are those that we need to guard against as well, who speak falsehoods and who speak lies. So he's saying here, further on in this chapter, the Apostle John, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. We are anointed. We have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches us in truth of that which the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit will speak of the Word of God, and the Word of God will speak of the Holy Spirit, and this is truth. And we have this unction from the Holy One, and we know all things, not meaning that we have all knowledge and we understand all prophecies, but that we have this wisdom that is from God, that we know what is truth. And we know that God desires this truth to be in our inward parts. That's what God desires, this truth in our inward parts. And we have this unction, we have this anointing from the Holy One. And we have been made aware, and we have been taught of this that comes from the Word of God, this precious truth that we hold so dear in our lives. He says further, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." We know the truth. We that have been raised in the church, we know what is truth. And we've compared it to what we've read in the textbooks at school. We've compared it to what other people have said. And we know that this is truth that is here in the Word of God. And there is no lie in it. And he says, "I'm not writing to you because you don't know, but I'm confirming this truth to you. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" Anyone that would deny that Jesus is the Anointed One, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, anyone that would doubt that or say that that is not true or deny that is a liar. The Bible here makes that very, very clear. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. And so whoever would deny the Son denies the Father as well. And he has not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So we know that if there are those that are saying that Jesus was just another man, or that he never came, or speak evil against, or deny, or bring lies and falsehoods against Jesus Christ, that they don't have the Father as well. And you know, many of the Jews actually fell into this category during the time of Christ. They denied the Son. And when they denied the Son, they didn't have the Father. But those that acknowledge the Son, they also have the Father as well. "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." Again, most of us here have been raised in the church, and we know what is truth. And we know that which we have heard from the beginning, that we know that it's truth. The Bible is true. Jesus Christ is truth. And so we hold these things dear to us, and we allow that truth to reside in us, and we hold it precious in our lives, that we might glorify Him and that we might live for Him, abiding in this truth that is in Jesus Christ. And he says here further that this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Jesus Christ promised us this, and again, this is truth, and this gives us great comfort and great joy, that this promise that he has given unto us is a promise of eternal life. And what God promises, he fulfills. God has never broken a promise, and he promises us eternal life when we abide in him. And we hold that truth dear to us, and we walk in it. Jesus Christ, in his intercessory prayer to the Father, as recorded in John 17, said, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is truth. This is truth. This is eternal life, that we might know God as the one true God, and that we might know Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. And we rejoice in this truth. And there is no lie in this truth. Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." When we follow his commandments, when we do what his word tells us to do, we are his disciples indeed, and in fact, and in truth. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free." We will know the truth when we abide in Christ, when we abide in him. We will know that truth, and that truth will set us free, free from the lies of Satan, free from the falsehoods of this world. And that truth will remain in us. And we will be blessed. We will be blessed. And he's saying further here, the Apostle John, that these things I write unto you concerning them that seduce you. He's writing unto us that we would know this truth, that we would abide in this truth, that we would be steadfast in this truth of Jesus Christ and of his word, because there are antichrists that try to seduce us, to try to turn us away from this truth, because Satan knows that if we abide in this truth, that we will be with the Lord forever. But he knows that if he can deceive us and bring forth some falsehoods, some lies into our life regarding Jesus Christ, regarding the Word of God, that he can bring us to that destination where he himself will be going. And so this was written for us, that we would remain in this truth, and that we would know this truth, and that we would live in this truth, and that our lives might be blessed by that, because the Lord delights that in that when the truth abides in our inward parts. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. This is a statement. This isn't a question, but the anointing which ye have received of him abides in us. And ye need not that men teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So if we abide in the truth, we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit will guide us to the Word of God. We might hear a statement, and we might hear a statement that's from one who claims to be a Christian, one who claims to be born again. And we think, well, does the Bible really say that? And so we go to the source of the truth, and the Holy Spirit directs us into that, and we confirm whether or not these things are true. And he says here, ye need not that any man teach you. If a man speaks of other things that are not of the Word of God, we are not to take heed to those things. But the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us. And if a man speaks of the Word of God, then we know that that is truth. Then he says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, when Jesus Christ shall appear, we may have confidence. We may have confidence that we might be sure that we abide in Jesus Christ. We abide in the truth. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We walk in his ways. We follow his word. And then we know that when Jesus Christ appears, we have this confidence, and we would not be ashamed at the time of his coming. This is the moment. This is the time that the believer is looking forward to. That when Jesus Christ comes in power and great glory, in the clouds, with the multitude of angels, and the sound of the trumpet, this is the time that we are thankful that we are walking in truth. That the truth is in us. That we believe the words of Jesus Christ. That we have been set free from the lies and the falsehoods of Satan and those who want to bring some other doctrine. Those who would say that, well, there's liberty in Christ. There's liberty in Christ. Forgetting that Jesus Christ says, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. There may be those who says, well, you can't eat that meat, or you need to be circumcised, or this is a better way. And we look in the scriptures and we don't see that Jesus Christ says these things. We are to walk in the truth. We are to compare scripture with scripture and compare with others what others may say. Is it led of the Holy Spirit? Is it what Jesus Christ says? Is it truth? And when we abide in that truth, we rejoice when Jesus Christ comes. We know that he is truth. We know that he is the way. We know that he gives life. We know that we are his. We know that we belong to him. And so the Apostle John wanted to write to believers at that time and even to believers today concerning those that seduce us, those that would bring about some other doctrine, some other way, make proclamations that are not scriptural, and that we are to abide in Jesus Christ. We are to abide in the truth. We are to look into the scriptures and know what does the Bible say. Men may have said that. Faithful men may have said something. Others may have said other things. It's not important. It really isn't. What's important is the truth. That truth resides here in the scriptures and in the scriptures alone. Let's study the scriptures. Let's read the scriptures. Let's lay the scriptures to heart. Because the Lord delights that we have truth in our inward parts. And we rejoice when we hear that others are walking in truth, even as the Apostle John did. May God grant us grace that we would walk in wisdom, we would walk faithfully, and that we would know the truth. Amen.
In the scriptures, we find many warnings against false teachers and false doctrines, deceit and seducers. And Jesus spoke about this. But the word of God, as we've been reminded, is the truth. It's our foundation. It's our reference point. And each and every one who's heard the word tonight, and every time we hear, the word goes out like a seed. And everyone receives it. But what you do with it is different. And what it makes of us might be different. But that's our choice. And in the book of Acts, the word of God was going forth, and there was in Thessalonica, the truth was spoken, and it made people angry. And people like throwing people out and dismissing. But in Berea, the scripture says those people were more noble. And they looked into the word of God to see if those things were so. What does the truth do to me? What kind of response do I give it? So many scriptures could be referenced, but one that stands out is Jesus' teaching in Matthew 24, where he says, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." To endure, to hold on, to persevere with God's help and by his grace. And as we look through the scripture, we look to Jesus' words to see what did he mean. And we go back to Matthew chapter 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Where Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." The rains and the floods will come to each and every one of us. But we've been reminded a very valuable lesson: to cherish the truth and to be receptive to it as little children. That's what Jesus wants. And he says that that man will endure as the man that built his house upon a rock. May we all find the wisdom of the Lord to guide us and show us how to apply the word, and what the Spirit of God would have us to do as a result of being here this evening. May God bless his word. Amen.